Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and it's actually morning.
Yeah.
It's morning, and I totally just pulled that off. It's been so long, I don't even know what to do. Of course,
that's fair.
Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just trying to remember how to do this.
It's been a little while. It has been a little while, and I'm back, sort of. It's Thursday at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Our schedules are all screwed. We're both
Everything's
skipping
weird.
Work to do this show, which is nuts.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Your daughter is in the other room going, Dad, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be here.
She's in the other room with a responsible adult, just to be clear.
Yes.
She's out of there by herself. Everything's screwed up. So really quickly, what we're going to try to do on today's show, this week, this month's show, it's been a while. We'll get into that here in just a second. But we do have news to talk about. We're going to talk about Sony skipping E3, which is old news at this point, but we haven't talked about it yet. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Bethesda screwing everything up with Fallout 76. Oh man, it's bad. Also, the Game Awards are tonight, so we'll talk a little bit about the Game Awards and see if we get to some other stuff. Talk about our trip because we got to hang out and we haven't done a show since you were here, which was a long time ago now.
Right, which we didn't really do a show when I was there because. Yeah.
So if you want to hear why we didn't do a show while Jamie was here, you can. If you go by the Patreon and sign up over at the Patreon, there is a video over there. One of our two kind of bits of content from Jamie's trip to Dallas that you'll get to hear Jamie's voice where it was while he was in town. And actually, you're going to hear it and you're going to go, what Duff said, essentially, like, oh my God, how's Jamie still alive? That was actually the better your voice was. The day after that, your voice was even worse.
Right. So. Look, I've been doing this a long time, and I'm going to get really serious for a second, because I've been doing this a long time. You've been doing this a long time. It's what we love to do, and I don't know if you caught it, because we didn't really talk about it. I was too sick to really talk about it, but that for a couple days there at your place, I was afraid because I knew my voice would come back eventually.
Yeah.
But it's like that was the worst time to lose it, and I mean, I lost it. There was a day in there that I couldn't do anything but whisper.
Yeah, it was brutal, and just the absolute worst timing for it.
And like I now have this fear of, you know, what if I lose and I can't do it anymore? And I actually had that thought while I was there, because, you know, I went there to do content for you guys, and the timing blew up and we didn't do anything, and we're way far behind, and I apologize and all that. But I was literally afraid for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if I can't do this, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Like, so that's very interesting. It's like, it's a David Jordan midlife crisis. You know, like, I'm almost 40 and my voice goes, and it's like, oh, what do I do?
To be fair, excuse me, now I'm going to start coughing and hacking over here. To be fair, your voice sounds crazy enough when it's normal that, like, if it just changed, you just sound like Kermit all the time. I mean, as long as you can talk, I don't see any reason we're going to stop.
See, I love that. You're like, dude, it's fine. You're screwed up anyway. It's all good.
You sound like you're drunk all the time, so why not be drunk and hoarse?
Yeah.
Persevere, man.
What's absolutely hilarious, and I told you this the last day that I was there, I put everything down my throat.
Yeah.
That we could think of trying to get functional enough to do something. And the last day, you were like, well, we need to play some Red Dead. And I have bourbon. And I brought, you know, I took beef jerky to the party. And so I took a shot of bourbon. And my voice started coming back. Yeah. And I'm like, we should have done that like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, we could have just drank a whole bottle and been fine. So, that being said, we are here.
We are here. We're not dead.
And I'm glad something is dinging in my ears. Is that you?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Because I don't really care what that is. I thought you were sending me a message.
Nope.
Telling me that, you know, your house was blowing up or something.
I would not be surprised with how things are going. So, let's chat briefly about your time here, because we did do some fun stuff.
Right.
And so, I'll start with just mentioning, I already mentioned it, but over on the Patreon, there is some video of us playing with the Xbox Adaptive Controller, which we got a chance to do quite a bit with, which was really quite fun. I enjoyed that thoroughly. So if you want all the fun and details and to see it working and us play Toe Jam and Earl, which was really fun, you can, by the way, we got Toe Jam and Earl news in the show today as well. You could do that by going over to the Patreon, go to gamingcensored.com, and there's the Patreon link right there near the top of the page over on the right hand side. And so if you want to check that out, by all means. But just really quickly, I would love to hear your impressions here on the show, what you thought about the adaptive controller.
Dude, it's going to be a great project. And I say that with excitement because it's going to be fun for us. But if you're buying an adaptive controller for somebody thinking that they're going to be able to play games right out of the box, you're going to be incorrect.
Yeah.
Because it's a project.
Yeah.
And it's not a small project.
Yeah.
It's going to take some work for anybody using the adaptive controller to use it well. And I'm excited because I'm lucky enough to have a guy that's a DIY guy and likes to do that stuff. For somebody that doesn't have that, it's a little concerning because it's not, it's very plug and play, but it's not right out of the box good to go.
Yeah.
So it does have a flaw.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you're going to sink time and or money into it. It's $100 to get you the base unit that is not playable that you've right. got to have other stuff with in order to play any kind of games with. And so it's going to cost you more money. It's just a question of how much more money. We spent relatively little and still spent another $80 on pieces. It even built our prototype into the box that the adaptive controller came into. We made a joystick out of the box, which is fantastic. Again, go by the Patreon to see all the details on that. But that was, again, you're right. That's us doing it DIY. Being able to play with it, doing all kinds of stuff. And it took time. I mean, we spent a whole day just kind of fleshing out, building the controller, testing it as we were going through and all that kind of stuff. And we got something that was workable and you were able to play a game, but it's far from perfect and there's a lot of tweaking we need to do. And so it's going to take more time.
What we have is very basic. And I'm kind of offended. I was kind of offhandedly joking that I need to come back like now,
right,
and spend like a week, and that's not an overstatement because it really it for us to tweak it. You're right; it's gonna take a whole day to make an adjustment to what needs to be done because right now we have one analog stick and one stick that's digital, which is funky, but it works. The buttons aren't perfect. There's just a bunch of little stuff. This is a big, big, big project. And if it had happened, you know, 12 years ago when we started this, we would have been in hog heaven because we just take a Saturday or multiple Saturdays and be building on this thing. It's currently living at your house.
Yeah.
I don't have it because there's no reason for me to have it right now because it's not done.
Yep.
Like I said, it's going to be a lot of fun, but if you're looking to get it for somebody and have them play games right out of the box, be prepared to get some help from somewhere.
Yep. Yeah, and there's all kinds of much more accessible, I mean that both literally as far as accessibility with the controller goes, but also just an ease of use, user friendliness. There's a lot of accessible accessories out there, buttons and switches and that kind of stuff that are plug and play, and you won't have to go through nearly as much work as we did to make the thing work. But they're way more expensive because the market's so small for this stuff. These just big buttons, they're just buttons that just plug in modularly to the controller, run $40, $50, $60, $70 a piece. And you need a bunch of them. You can't do this with just one or two buttons. And so, I think we had 12 different buttons ultimately on the surface of our joystick.
Stole one,
right?
So like I don't know where that button went.
Funny story, I found it. It was under our ottoman. Like 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, that's what happened to that button. So yeah, it exists. If you're gonna get one, know that there's a much bigger cost sink into it, and that's relatively easy accessibility stuff. When you get into the more specialized types of controllers or peripherals, it gets way more expensive, and so you could easily sink $1,000+ to get this thing to work where it needs to be. Now, if you're a gamer that's been locked out of games for a long time because of accessibility issues,
the price may not be
so terrible.
We are going to spend $1,000+.
Probably.
We haven't yet, but we are going to spend $1,000+ because just that day, you and I sitting around, you know, messing with three different games or two different games, however many it was. I was sick. I don't remember.
That's fair.
That was a blast, and I wanted to do that more.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for your wife because there is coming a point where I'm going to come. That thing's going to be set up. And everything's going to be good. We're going to lock ourselves in the room with the little girl. And we're going to play games for a day.
Yeah.
And it's just going to happen. And I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Absolutely. So. Like I said, if you want to see more of our process and get to see Jamie play some Toe Jamming, or we played a little bit of Cuphead, a little bit of Gauntlet with it as well, which was fun. We tried to record Gauntlet and ran into technical issues on top of everything else we were dealing with, whatever. So it ended up being cool. So I'll also mention, so really quickly, thanks to Chad for
sending us the
accessibility controller and letting
us have
that fun to play. Also thanks to Duff, who sent us a wireless Vive adapter, so we got to play with that as well. We've got some content coming for that. We got to finish it because we have video recorded. We don't have any audio recorded for it because literally Jamie couldn't talk. That was the day that your voice was completely gone. And so we're going to do like a look back at our time with the Vive wireless adapter.
Can we just jump into that for a quick second because yep. I'll tell you, folks, I don't want to ruin the content, and I'm not going to. But if you have a VR setup, the wireless adapter is, well, it's two things. One, it's a game changer.
Yes.
Two, it is a resource hog.
Yes.
So if you think you have a VR rig and you buy a wireless adapter, you may need to upgrade.
Yeah.
And I'm not overstating that either, because we have a pretty nice VR rig. We now need to upgrade.
Yeah.
So there's that. But the Vive adapter, as far as hardware goes, is a game changer. If you have VR, it is a must.
Yeah. It really the freedom you get of not having to have that cord tethered and following you around is a big deal. Like it feels like it would be a big deal. Like honestly, like that cord is a huge hindrance. But once you get rid of it, it makes all the difference in the world. Even like a couple of the games that we played on it were seated games. Like we played Hellblade. Again, thanks to our boy Duff. That was super cool in VR, and that was complete. I mean, it was with a controller seated, whatever, with the wireless adapter that wasn't necessary, but still great. Just and not having that cord to deal with and everything else. And so the tech's cool, and it works better than I thought it would. But you're right; it's a resource hog, and we had problems with pixelation and not really much dropout. A little bit of dropout, not a ton of dropout. Most of the time, it worked fine. But it was, I would compare it a little bit to like playing Assassin's Creed, which you saw a little bit of Odyssey via Project Stream, and how almost always it's great, and then every so often it's not, and you notice that's in VR, you notice, and it's magnified by 1,000 because VR is all about immersion, and as soon as something is immersion breaking, it's a big drag on the experience, and so... there were times that it would pixelate and it'd be like, that's not good. You know, like it just felt awkward and weird, but most of the time it worked fine, and was crisp and great and everything else. But we were trying to record video at the same time. And while we were recording video, the performance got worse. Once we stopped recording video, the performance improved pretty significantly.
And like I said, that has nothing to do with the wireless adapter. And everything to do with the amount of video card that we had in the system.
Yeah.
And we have a nice video card in the system, but it ain't Duff nice.
Right.
So.
It needs a heck of a rig, but if you've got the rig to do it, 100% a game changer. So that's great. And again, thanks to Duff for hooking us up there. And then we got to play a little bit of Red Dead. We didn't do a ton of Red Dead, and I haven't touched it since you left, and so I know you've been looking and wondering. And so,
I was pretty sure you're busy because it's me and the semester and stuff. Yep. But I was like, dude, if you're playing, you're not recording.
Yep.
Just telling you.
Yeah, I haven't touched it, so we're the exact same place when you rolled out of the house. But Eddie just I we've seen tons of Red Dead, and we could talk about Red Dead all day. But any new thoughts, having seen it in person, sitting here with some bourbon and beef jerky and no voice?
You know what? That's another thing that I really want to come back and lock myself into a room with many more shots of bourbon and, yes, and more beef jerky, because that, you talk about an immersive experience. Red Dead is that.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have a gravity-defying other thing in the other room,
yes,
that we're constantly looking toward going, what's she doing in it? Because, like, that's, we're such, like, I don't even know how to say it. We're such, like, old men. Like, this is not even my kid. But like, we're sitting in there and we're playing games and stuff. And after, like, 45 minutes, we look at each other and go, yeah, we need to go check.
Yep.
And there's no real reason to check because the sexy sidekick's got it. But it's like, yeah, it's been too long. We need to go check.
Yep.
So we might have a slight addiction problem.
Yes.
And so, but if it wasn't for that, like, Red Dead could suck you in and you'd be gone for days. And that's great.
It is. That world is just fantastic. It's so deep and so alive and breathing, and there's just little details everywhere, and it's, yeah. We're still on chapter two. We haven't even got to chapter three,
right,
of the thing. Yeah, we've got so much more of it to go. It's just amazing.
Before we move to news, I don't have a lot, but I just want to say that over Thanksgiving, because I did have a couple days, I got back into Life is Strange.
Very nice.
And I know you haven't had a time to mess with that, but dude, you gotta play Before the Storm.
Really?
Like, it is twisted and it is messed up, but it's Life is Strange, and that franchise is great, and I hope they make more, because I know two is out. I hope it doesn't stop with two, because I love that franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. The first one was fantastic, and so I'm excited to play eventually Beyond the Storm and to get into Life is Strange 2. And you need to play The Adventures of Captain Spirit. It's short. It'll take you an hour or so to get through it, but it's great, too. That whole thing's fantastic. The only thing I've touched, honestly, is Stardew Valley over the past couple of
weeks. We got to get that going on the PC.
We
said that while I was there.
Because there's co-op, right, now, and so,
yeah.
We'll be playing Stardew Valley together soon. I've been thinking about it, and even starting up a server and everything else. I just haven't had time to yet. But my schedule opens up a little bit now, and so, hopefully we'll be playing that together on PC soon.
Dude, we can finally have our own server on something that we can actually play and be good at.
I know. It'd be crazy.
Wow.
That game has been out forever, and I've talked about it so much, and it still has me totally hooked. And I've basically done, I haven't done everything, but I'm pretty much in game on my iPhone playthrough now. They did update it. It fixed a lot of complaints that I had about it before, which is great, including you don't just save at the end of the day now, that it has kind of ongoing. It saves automatically basically all the time, and so you can stop and pull it back up, and if the app crashes or whatever, it's no worry. And so it's just great. So it's all I've played, so that's what I got for you. But it is fantastic. So all that said, we've got tons of news, so we need to jump into that really quickly. Let me mention our Patreon guys, because you all deserve a ton of credit for helping us have a great weekend, even if we didn't get much content done. There is a little bit there, so go by Patreon. If you are a Patreon supporter and haven't done that yet, or if you've considered it, there's some good stuff there now and some more stuff coming. But quick thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, and Chris. I think this is either the first or second show that we've got to mention Chris as a Patreon supporter, but he's been hanging out for quite a while. Super good dude. Has been participating over on the Facebook page and such. And so good to have Chris as part of the Patreon.
Thank you for buying me Mambo Taxi. And if you want if you want to know what that is, Google that, because I was taking my antibiotics. I shouldn't have drank it, but I did, and it was fabulous.
Yes, maybe the best cocktail in Dallas, one that is pretty famous around here. So it is fantastic, even when you're drugged up. That's incredibly unsafe, but still fantastic. So yes, thank you guys for buying us dinner and letting us play some games.
And thank you, sir, for backing me up, because like I said, we're sitting at the restaurant, and you order one, and I order one, and Jay looks at me, and she goes, "You're taking antibiotics," and I'm like, "Yeah, I don't give a crap." and like, you've been around Jane a little bit now, and Jane's pretty vocal about some stuff, but you backed me up, and yeah, I enjoyed the Mambo Taxi, and I didn't die.
Yep, you're still here somehow. Yeah. So it's a good thing. So all that said, should we talk about some news?
Yes.
So we're going to start with E3 news. Again, this is old news, but we haven't talked about it yet. We love E3, as you guys know, and so this is a big deal. And so I'm interested to get your thoughts about it for sure. Sony is officially skipping E3. In 2019, not going to have a press conference, not going to have a booth, totally out of the E3 loop. As the past at least two or three years, we've thought Sony has shown up with the most impressive slate of games. Seems like a big deal, right?
I think, and here's where I start overstating things, because that's what I do. I think this effectively kills E3 because Nintendo's not showing up, really. Microsoft hasn't really had a great show in like 40 years. And we're going to get flamed on the Facebook page because the Microsoft guys will point stuff out. But it hasn't been great. Like we're used to seeing from them. It hasn't been Peter Moore with a Grand Theft Auto tattoo. Right. Like, it hasn't been that for a long time. Right? So, no Sony, no Nintendo. That leaves Microsoft and a bunch of little guys. And I don't know, dude. I don't see it. Like, It's to the point that it's like I'm looking at the calendar going, okay, are we doing E3 or are we doing something else this year?
Yep.
Because I don't know the answer. I want to spend a week doing something because that's what we do. That's our favorite time of year. But for the first time in 13 years, I have no clue whether it's going to be E3 or something else.
Yeah. I'm not going to go quite that far, but I agree generally in that I don't know what we're going to do either around E3 this year. We'll see. I think it's a big deal. It's one of the big three console gaming companies that's not going to be there. And there's a lot of speculation on why. It's new console time, and so there's a lot of speculation that Sony and Microsoft will both announce new consoles next year, and so part of the calculation for Sony may be that they don't want to do that at E3 or don't want to be in kind of E3 world for that, and that they can do their own thing to do that and get a lot of press and a lot of publicity and everything else out of it that they don't have to rely on the E3 medium to do that, which I think they're absolutely right for. And I think, I mean, this has been true for a long time. E3 has way outlived its usefulness to the industry. It's fun, and we love it, and every year we look forward to it. And I still think it's a great time of year for, you know, all these game announcements and trailers, and especially the indie stuff, which, you know, I love, and we get to find so much stuff at E3 that we don't see otherwise. But as a vehicle for game companies to communicate what they're doing, what games they have coming, what hardware they have coming, 10, 15 years ago, E3 was really important for that. Today, it's not. There's so many other ways with social media and Twitch and even the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One were both announced outside of E3 and the Nintendo Switch. I mean, they haven't utilized E3 in that way for a while, and that it's just been this kind of hype thing. And there's other ways to build hype. And so I get it, and I think it is probably us seeing the kind of beginning of the end of E3, that Sony pulling out is the first kind of significant nail in the coffin, assuming that it stays that way. Now, well, it does. Go ahead.
What I was going to mention is that I agree with everything that you said, but I still think the industry, like, they don't need it to put out information about games or get in touch with the public, but I still feel like that the industry needs a spectacle every year.
Yeah.
And it's like the Super Bowl, right? Like the Super Bowl happens every year. And I feel like E3 is that kind of thing. Like, you don't need it, but the world of gaming, I feel like, deserves a spectacle where it gets a week where that's what people talk about. And I have this thought in my head about how cool would it be for if we're not doing E3 for something to pop up in Vegas where everybody goes. And it's that, and it's this massive, like, spectacle thing, because I think that's what E3 needs to be for the industry at this point.
Yeah.
It's not about information. It's not about anything else. It's just about saying, hey, this is what we do.
I like the Super Bowl analogy. For instance, the Sexy Sidekick, who despises sports, doesn't follow sports at all, you know, couldn't tell you anything about the NFL from week to week during the season or whatever, but she knows who's playing in the Super Bowl when Super Bowl time comes around, and she, right, you know, she's aware of the game, she knows what's going on around the Super Bowl. So even somebody that's not plugged into that world, or for her specifically, that has no desire and actively despises that world, still is aware and still, you know, feels that. E3 does the same thing for a lot of people with video games, that it shows up on, you know, morning news programs that otherwise don't talk about video games ever. If somebody announces something big at E3, makes headlines, and it gets into culture more than just the gaming world, and so it does have that value. I will say, a couple of things, since Sony's not going to be there, Microsoft and Nintendo both have big opportunities to capitalize and to show up big, and maybe that's Nintendo coming back with a press conference. I don't know that they've announced either way yet, but this is an opening for them that they could do something big and cool, especially if they have new hardware, which wouldn't be, I think most likely that they'll have a new Switch SKU that they're showing off or whatever, but it would be a time for them to build that hype. And I think Microsoft obviously is the biggest potential winner here, because it's still this year going to get a lot of headlines. It may not be as big of a deal as it has been in the past, but E3 is still E3, and so Microsoft shows up, shows off some good games, reveals new hardware that's exciting, whatever. Like, Microsoft can pull all the headlines out of E3, and that could be a massive boon for Microsoft coming off of that week, and change what has been, again, I think for you and me, and I would argue for more people than not, their kind of lackluster performance over the past several years. Not that they've been doing poorly, Just that they've been kind of second tier.
You know what? I'm gonna say, and we're gonna get flamed after this show. But the last 3 or 4 years, Microsoft has mailed it in. That's what it is. It's not about second. They've mailed it in.
Yeah.
They haven't really had anything that was like wow, which is ridiculous because they're Microsoft.
Yeah.
Like. They could put, they're the company that can afford to put $1 million, $2 million, $3 million dollars into E3 and make it huge every year. And they don't. And that's what disappoints me.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for them this year to potentially, again, to have the opportunity, whether or not they follow through with that opportunity, I don't know. And also for the other software, the publishers and developers out there that do show up to E3, the bigger guys, Bethesda, UB, it even opening some space for maybe some for some smaller studios to have a voice at E3, I think is exciting. I think that, honestly, like, I might enjoy E3 more if you take away some of the big guys. Now, I've loved Sony for the past few years at E3, and so if you're taking one of them away, I'm really bummed that that's the one that's going away. But to be honest, let's talk about why Sony probably is smart not to show up. They don't really have anything right on the horizon. Last year, they showed off games that aren't coming out this year, or this year they showed off games that aren't coming out next year. And so they could just show off Death Stranding again. They could show off Ghost of Tsushima again. But that wouldn't feel, you know, whatever. Maybe we get The Last of Us 2 later next year. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that from Sony. Like, let's be clear. Sony's going to be announcing stuff in 2019.
Well, and that's the thing that we haven't thought about. I wonder if E3 is still going to be E3. They're just not going to be in the same room. Because Sony has already sort of halfway kind of stated that they're going to do their own thing.
Yeah.
So, like,
it's just a matter of timing.
I wouldn't be shocked if it's not the same week because they're trying to, you know, make waves.
And that's what, like, EA has done, that they're not technically at E3 for their press conference, but it is, you know. So, yeah, they could do a big PlayStation event that's happening, you know, in Vegas instead of L.A., you know, that's happening on that Saturday or whatever. Or do it the weekend after E3 and try to steal all the momentum out of E3 or whatever. Yeah, very likely. I would say that there's a very good chance that Sony will do some announcement or some big thing a month before or after E3 in the lead up or whatever. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right there.
I think the interesting thing for us is when do I come to your house and how long do I stay?
I know.
Because it could be like a 3-week thing, you know?
Yeah.
And for you guys that are on Patreon, just prepare for that because we have the money. I will do that.
Fair enough.
I'm not opposed.
Yeah, like, good place to stay.
Yes, I do. They like me at the hotel. I like the hotel. And if I'm not sick, I'd rather be there than here. So,
yep.
Yeah, we can make that happen.
So, moving on from Sony into the Bethesda train wreck. It's getting worse by the day. So, Fallout 76 is out, and it's got mixed reviews. I'll put it that way. It's not being just completely lambasted. At the same time, it's definitely not being heralded by everybody either. And so you got to kind of look and see. Some people really enjoy it. Some people don't at all. But it's not even the game itself, but kind of just the massive stuff around the game that's really been the news over the past couple weeks with Fallout 76. And so we'll hit a couple of those things briefly and then just talk about kind of bigger picture stuff with Bethesda here. So, one, shortly after the game was released, there was a big patch that came out. And when I say big patch, on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, the patch was 47 gigs. 47 gig patch. The whole game install is 53 gigs or so, apparently, on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It said it almost replaces the whole game as a patch. You got some problems. Apparently, the PC version was only a 15 gig patch, and so for what that's worth. But there are obviously, as that would insinuate, lots of problems with the game, and lots of people have talked about the bugs and everything else. Outside of that, for the people who paid like $200 for the big special edition that was supposed to come with this really nice canvas bag, which I don't really get special editions in the first place, but whatever, if you spend the money on it, you probably have expectations that you're getting good quality stuff, and the bag that they shipped was crap. It was just poorly made, and people got pissed. And if you're spending $200, I kind of get why you would get pissed. And so Bethesda at first gave them essentially $5 of in-game currency, which didn't really satiate the people who were pissed, and now have committed to replacing these duffel bags with the like actual nice bags that were supposed to come with it. And that's a minor deal in the scheme of things. That's not affecting a ton of people, but it's affecting your diehard fans. If you are, you know, somebody who buys the $200 edition of Fallout 76, you're not a casual Fallout person. You're the hardcore fan, and those are the people you least want to piss off, and Bethesda did a good job.
Bethesda, we love you guys, okay? Let me just say that.
Yeah.
We love you guys. You're one of our favorite companies out there. You have a few of the best games ever made, but that being said, you have a few games, okay? You're not EA, you're not UB, you're not those guys. You make a game every 5 years, and it's usually really good. You cannot afford to piss people off.
Yep.
Yeah, you can't.
And they are. And one last thing I'll throw in here of them pissing people off, and rightfully so. This one just came out. This is new, just in the past couple of days. There is a security issue now with support tickets, of which Fallout 76 has a bunch because there's been lots of issues with it, that people can access the information on those support tickets, including private information like names and addresses, contact information. I don't know how much information you put on there, but at least email and home address, and maybe more than that. And that's a really big deal. Privacy and security is something that you need to get right as a tech company, and that's like. Screwing up duffel bags for your key consumers is a big deal in and of itself. But screwing up releasing private contact information for everybody that's put out a support ticket affects a lot more people, and at the end of the day is potentially a lot more of an issue with identity theft and everything else that could balloon out of control. That's just a basic screw-up that you just can't do. And,
because here's the problem, guys. Here's the deal. It's hard enough to set your security up and make it where you don't get hacked. Like, that happens all the time. And I smile at people who are older or of a different generation that, you know, talk about, you know, putting their stuff online and is it safe and this and that. And I smile because the answer is no. Like, everybody that wants your stuff, like Google or Facebook or whatever, anybody that wants to know something about you, they probably know something about you. But you as a company have to not make mistakes, because you've got enough to deal with hacking and security and all of that. You have to get it right on your end, because you got enough to deal with.
Yeah.
And this is a problem, because apparently all the stuff that is happening is Bethesda's fault.
Yeah.
Like, this is their fault. This ain't a hacker. This ain't a company like leak. This ain't somebody that got fired and is upset. This is a Bethesda problem with security, and that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bad. It's just bad. They've just totally butchered this thing that was already going to be a fraught launch with this game that was going to be polarizing, that was going to alienate a chunk of their fan base, and then they've just screwed it up further with a really bad rollout and launch and everything else of it. And like you said, we really like Bethesda, and there's some people looking at you, Cabbage, that are participants on this show that aren't as big on Bethesda. But we really like this company, but they're screwing up. Like, I'm not going to come out and say, oh, yeah, they're fine. Like, they're jacking this thing up pretty bad. And so
they are. And it's bad enough. I'm looking at it going, now what? Because for me, it's dominoes, right?
Right.
Like, this is bad. And so you know that somebody in the company is going, this is bad, we got to get this off the radar, what else can we do, what else can we put out, can we feed them something about Elder Scrolls 6, what can we do to get a better headline, and when you start rushing around like that, then you make more mistakes.
Yep.
And so I really feel like that this is a problem on multiple fronts, because the biggest mistake that Bethesda can make is to start rushing their software. And I think they did that with Fallout 76. And that's part of the reason why we're seeing all the stuff that we're seeing.
Yep. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I'm fascinated to see what Bethesda does for E3. If they show up, first of all, it's not guaranteed, but if they do a conference again, what they show, what they talk about, how they try to make amends for this, everything else, I'm really curious about what Bethesda does, because they don't have anything else on the horizon right now. Like, their games are a long ways away. I say their big games are a long ways away. They've got a couple of things that are coming, but the new Skyrim isn't soon, and whatever whatever game, I don't remember what it was called, that they showed off at E3 isn't soon, and so
And you know what's funny to me is that some people aren't really aware of that, like. Some people aren't really, because I talk to guys at work all the time. I told you I work with a bunch of young guys, and one of them is a Bethesda fan, and you know, he's talking about, you know, Elder Scrolls 6 going to be out in a year, and I'm like, dude, no, it's not. It's not going to be out in a year, and if it is, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, they're 2 years out.
Easy.
On their big stuff.
Easy.
So
probably longer than that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, and it might be good for them just to kind of go radio silent for a little bit, you know, after this, of just kind of taking a break of trying to not be in the headlines and just kind of nose down and work and get some stuff out.
Let Skyrim do what it does. I mean, right. Skyrim's out for like 15 years and people still love it.
Yep.
Another problem that they have, and it's not necessarily their problem, but it's been something that I've been noticing, is that the Nexus mod manager is going through some changes. And so if Skyrim gets harder to mod and people start having trouble with it, again, it's not Bethesda's problem, but not everybody is smart enough to know that. The Nexus Mod Manager is now a community-supported deal. Like, there's not... The community is actively working on the software instead of the person that started it.
Yeah.
And that's becoming... I can see that becoming a problem. And if their games get harder to mod, then you don't have that cushion of Skyrim and Fallout and
yep.
all of that stuff. So yep. I know it's a reach, but You see where I'm going there? I mean,
oh yeah, the longevity of Skyrim is because of modding. let's not be naive about that. They've re-released it on other systems and whatever else, but the fact that it stayed relevant as long as it has is in large part due to the modding community. And so anything that's going to challenge that, it's one of the things Bethesda's known for, and rightfully so, especially Skyrim. Elder Scrolls series stuff, and Fallout to a slightly lesser extent, but it's a big deal for Fallout on the PC too. If that goes away, bye bye Bethesda. That's just
yeah.
So, a few other things before we wrap up. The Game Awards are tonight, and I gotta tell you, I'm excited about them. Is that weird to say? As much as we,
you know what,
to
they didn't suck last year. So
they didn't suck last year. Jeff has done a really good job with it. Like, I'm pretty pumped. And there's going to be big game announcements, and I'm really looking forward to it. So on the next show, I imagine we'll talk quite a bit about stuff, news, and everything else that comes from the Game Awards.
What time is that?
That's a good question. Let me see if I can find out. Not that it matters for anybody else, because you're probably listening to this after it already showed. It is 7:30 p.m. Central Time, so...
And where can we watch that, I wonder?
On the GameAwards.com.
Sweet.
Yep, there you go. Filmed in stunning 4K ultra high definition resolution.
I wonder if they're going to have a YouTube channel, because I'd like to put that up on the big screen.
Imagine. Quickly, let's talk about some of the big nominees to see what we think here, and I think we're probably going to agree on most of these. It's not going to be too difficult. But Game of the Year nominees: Assassin's Creed Odyssey, totally deserved, fantastic game. God of War, totally deserved, fantastic game. Spider-Man, I've heard it's a fantastic game.
We haven't played it. We don't know.
But speaking of Sony's dominance, the only exclusive games on here are God of War and Spider-Man, both Sony exclusive games. Monster Hunter World, which is a big deal. And then Celeste, which was the shocker to me. This is like pixel graphics, 2D Metroidvania game that's on Steam that looks really, really good. It was nominated for Game of the Year, so freaking good for them. That just made me happy. And then Red Dead 2. And I think we're probably pretty agreed that Red Dead 2 is the obvious pick there, right?
It is. And I kind of wonder, I think God of War is going to get it from some places, but the Game Awards being what they are, which is the kind of the like pro, like let's play sports and blow stuff up kind of a thing.
Sure.
This is their game. I feel like it's a no brainer there.
Yeah, I think so too. Best game direction. This is where Detroit Become Human shows up several times. Good for them. A Way Out, which is super cool. Good for them. God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead 2, and you're going to hear that a lot. All of those are fantastic. I would think maybe that's where God of War comes in for best direction. I actually would put that an overwhelming favorite there. I think that's almost a lock. And then I'll be wrong. That's fine. Best narrative, Detroit Become Human, God of War, Spider-Man, Red Dead 2 again. And then the one like outlier here is Life is Strange 2, Episode 1. And so, again, awesome. A game or a franchise we love, getting some recognition there. This is one where I hope the kind of outlier wins. Best art direction, nominees are Assassin's Creed, God of War, Red Dead 2, and then two that aren't as familiar, Return of the Obra Dinn, which I don't know anything about, which is this kind of black and white line graphic looking thing that's kind of cool. And then the one that I hope that wins because it's so pretty and so well done is Octopath Traveler on the Switch. Just really, really cool. And so,
I would love that.
I would too. And I think it's, I don't know if it's likely, but I think it's a pretty good chance that one will win. So I'm trying to see what other ones here. Best games for Impact. Celeste is on that list. Life is Strange 2 is on that list. Best independent game, Celeste is here. You would imagine if it's nominated for Game of the Year that it should win, but the other ones that are here have gotten a lot of acclaim too. Dead Cells, which is supposed to be really, really cool, this kind of procedurally generated roguelike Metroidvania thing that looks cool. Into the Breach, which has gotten a lot of acclaim. The Messenger, which has gotten a lot of acclaim. Best mobile game, the Donut County is my personal pick there, which I really enjoyed. Best VR AR game, which I don't know if they've had that category before.
I think that's new.
Is a category. Moss is on the list there, and so I would love to see that win. Tetris Effect. Beat Saber, which is a huge success. Like, people talk about Beat Saber all the time, and so maybe that's the one. I'm trying to look. Other games you would expect. Tomb Raider gets a nod for best action adventure game, along with Red Dead, Spider-Man, God of War, and Assassin's Creed. And so those are going to be the big winners from tonight. I think Red Dead probably is going to sweep a lot of stuff. It's been a really good year in video games, and I think this is a testament of it. So
it is, and I have no clue when we're gonna do the year in review or like when that's gonna. I have no idea, but it has been a really, really good year.
Yeah, just fantastic games, and I wish we had more time to play them.
Yes.
we don't. Really quickly, I'll mention a couple of things as we finish up here. A few things about Epic. A couple big news things about Epic. One is a bummer to me. Nobody else cares. But they're officially scrapping Unreal Tournament into the future. They were working on a new Unreal Tournament game. With the success of Fortnite, they don't really see a need for it.
Yeah.
And that was my exact reaction, which I get. They're right. But man, as somebody who grew up loving Unreal Tournament, that's a bummer to me. Fortnite, by the way, now has 200 million players. 200 million people are playing Fortnite. Yeah.
Okay. we don't have time for this at all, but I just have to ask. You teach kids for a living.
Yep.
And we're getting to the age where we can say that. Right. We're not kids
anymore.
They're
college students, but they're kids.
We're old men, and we're not them anymore. We used to be them, and we're not them anymore. Can you explain to me what the draw is with Fortnite? Because I've seen it. I've fired it up because I work in a computer shop. And people bring their computers in, and they're like, I want to play Fortnite. Can you make it work? And so I've done that. And I don't really see the appeal. I don't get it. Can you explain it to me?
I can't explain it to you. I just know that it exists. Like, the appeal to it exists because my students play it all the time. Even on their freaking phones, which just seems like the most miserable experience in the world to me. But whatever, they dig it, and they have a lot of fun. I see it pop up like on Twitter all the time of like people doing crazy stuff in Fortnite. I'm just like, it just doesn't resonate with me in any way. But it does with 200 million people. And I will say this. One of the places that I've actually really appreciated what Fortnite is and what it's done, on a couple of occasions, I've seen where a dad will play with his son or daughter. I haven't seen this personally with the mom, but I'm sure it works that way as well. But I have personal acquaintances, people I know that are playing Fortnite with their kids. Like, their kids got into Fortnite, and then they, as a way to, you know, do something with their kids, also started playing Fortnite. And now they have like this family thing that they do, that they play Fortnite together and like are into it, you know, like that's something that they connect over in the video game. And I think that's great. If my daughter were older and into Fortnite, I probably would get into Fortnite because I would love to play that with her, you know, like just to have that thing that we do together. She's 9 months old, so she's obviously not there yet. Almost 10 months is coming soon. But whenever she gets to the age that she's playing games and she finds what she's interested in, I will probably be interested in that too. You know, yes. Like I am going to make an effort, obviously, on a lot of things to be involved in my daughter's life, but video games are my thing. And so assuming she's into video games, which I imagine she will be, I will be into things that she's into. And so that for a lot of people right now is Fortnite, and that's cool. And I get that for sure.
And it's very interesting what you say there, because you had a mom that played video games with
yes.
you. I had a mom that played video games with me. My dad is my dad. That's all other deal. That's a big thing.
Yep.
And if Fortnite is doing that for people, I'm all good.
Yep.
I have what kills me about it is that it's a free game and they're making all the money they're making on the microtransactions.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And they're making a ton of money. And somebody at the shop brought up the other day, have you ever thought about the fact that when you buy a game on Steam or the Microsoft Store or anywhere else, you don't really own that game. It looks like you do, but there's a license agreement that with every game that you buy that says you're essentially renting that game. And I think about people that are dumping money into Fortnite, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for little stuff that could be gone in a year. Like, Fortnite servers at some point are gonna go. They're not gonna be around, and you just lost all your stuff.
Yep.
And I can't, like, the cheap person in me just kind of like freaks out. Like, you can't put money into that.
Yeah.
And that's an exact reason that I haven't put money into Second Life, really. Like, Second Life is built that way about buying stuff. And you have stuff in your inventory. And it's there for as long as the system is there. But when the system is gone, your stuff is gone. And that's a big debate in Second Life is, are they going to keep it up? How long are they going to keep it up? What about my stuff? Is it going to transfer as a new thing? No, probably not. And people, they think it's their right for that to transfer, and it's just not. So that's where I have a hard time with it.
I get that, and it's just a new economy, you know? Like, and it's likewise, I'm cheap, you know this. I wouldn't spend money on vanity items in any game. I had a hard time, honestly, with the Assassin's Creed Odyssey with Project Stream. They gave you in-game cash, you know, in-game currency as part of participating. I didn't have to pay. I've paid 0 cents out of my pocket to play Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I still felt weird about buying microtransaction stuff, though. You know, like, I went and spent it because I wanted to just, they gave it to me. I wanted to have that experience. I don't ever do that. And so I don't even really know, like, what the in-game, you know, stores kind of look like or feel like or whatever, how it shows up, whatever. I was just curious. And I still felt kind of icky. Like, I still felt like, ugh, I don't like this, you know? Like, even a free microtransaction to me just made me uncomfortable. And it was for, like, it wasn't cosmetic. Like, it was for, like, gear in-game that was helpful, that I used and thought was great. And I still felt like one of them I bought was a helmet, and I got a better helmet, not, you know, super long after that or whatever. And the way Assassin's Creed Odyssey works with the gear is you can upgrade your gear. And so, like, if you pay real money for something, you can upgrade that in game and keep it relevant. And so it doesn't just diminish. Like, you don't just use it at one level and then it goes away, which is smart if you're going to pay real money on it. But I decided to focus my upgrading on this other helmet that I thought was cooler than the one I bought using the in-game currency, in part just because I felt so icky about microtransactions. Again, for money I'm not spending. So, yeah, I don't get it, but people that's what they like. I don't, whatever. My younger brothers are adults now, but in that kind of generation, they grew up playing video games where they would spend hours and hours and hours just customizing their characters. And to me, like, I want the character creation process to be as quick as possible because I don't care. Like, generally,
you want a guy with a beard. That's what you. That's it.
That's exactly right. Like, I'm gonna find, like, where's the facial hair option where my guy has a beard, because that's a defining characteristic of me. And so, like, whatever game I play, if the guy can have a beard, he has a beard. And outside of that, like, I don't care what shoes he's wearing. You know, like, I don't care about most everything else. I will hit the random thing on every character creation thing until I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool. Let me find a beard, and then done. And I want to play the game. I want to be in the game. And so. It's just a different thing. It's just generationally, maybe, or whatever, different thing. So.
Okay, so we got to wrap this up. But before we go, I have to mention to people that if they haven't been by your Facebook page and they want to see the best picture in the last 6 months, there is a picture on your Facebook profile of you and the little girl in matching shirt that say regional manager and assistant to the regional manager. Yes. And I saw it pop up, and I, like, mom has not seen the pictures from the trip. Okay. Uh-huh. Like, I need to get the pictures from the trip from the sex sidekick. Because we do have quite a few.
Yep.
So anyway, mom hasn't seen those. So that popped up, and I showed it to mom, and she takes one look, and she goes, "Holy cow!" And I said, "What?" And she goes, "She looks like him." And I thought, that is so cool. That is so cool. If you haven't been by Tommy's Facebook page, take a look at that.
Yes.
It will make your day.
A few things I'll mention there because that cracks me up. That's awesome. I love that. It makes me very happy. First of all, I always thought the matching shirt thing was super stupid, and it's like, I'm never going to do that. And then you have a baby and you're like, this is awesome. So perspective changes when you have a child, for sure. And so, and between office fandom and baby fandom, it was just amazing. But for anybody that's listening, hasn't been listening for a little bit, that statement is all that much more amazing because my daughter is black and I'm not. Our daughter is adopted. And so the fact that she said, she looks like me is super sweet and kind and amazing. But I will freely say I am out of my league when it comes to my wife. My wife is much more attractive than I am, is just fantastic. Like, I won the lottery there. Like, it's great. And now having a child that's not genetically, you know, my offspring, also out of my league there. My daughter is way more attractive than I am. You know, like, if she had my genes, she would be in trouble. If she would have the sexy sidekick genes, she would be better off. But, like, I'm out of my league with my daughter. She is gorgeous.
Yes.
I am a funny looking dude, and I know that. I embrace that. It's fine. I've come to terms with that in my life. My daughter is a pretty, pretty girl. And that's terrifying to me as she gets older. But right now, it's kind of awesome.
I told you when all this started, there will be shotguns. It has graduated from shotguns to an entire arsenal.
Yes.
And I say that knowing that you're a fan of us, but that is going to change as we get older.
You may be right.
I will say I don't like the matching shirt thing either, but I'll tell you this, when I come back, we're going to find matching shirts, all three of us, and get a picture. Because I want in on that.
Yeah. No, it's great. So, it's fantastic. So,
we've got to wrap this up. We got to go. So I will tell you to go by the Facebook page, do that good stuff. We did not play a segment today. I believe we have segments.
We do. We have one or two in the queue.
So you definitely need to give us some more segments. Because we like segments, and we are going to be back before, you know, the next millennium. So,
hopefully. We're going to do a roundtable soon. I promise. We're behind on that. We've just had a mess of 3 weeks. But we're back, and we're going to be rolling now. Even through, we've got Christmas break coming up, but we're going to roll through Christmas break. We'll be here.
Yes, and so yeah, send those segments. You can do the email. You know how to do that. GamingUncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And of course, you know where all the stuff is. You know where the Twitter is, Podcast EU. You know where the Facebook is. They're going to be yelling at me later because I talked trash on Microsoft. We've got the website still up, which, by the way, if something looks different on the website, don't freak out, sir. I asked Evie to do slight spring cleaning on the server.
Nice.
So if you can think of stuff that needs to be cleaned and adjusted, now is the time. But the site is there. It's all good. I am recording Life is Strange, and that will be up when I finish it, which I'm hoping at some point next week will be that. We got all kinds of stuff for you guys to do, so please go and do that. Hang out with us. Get involved with the Patreon, because we would like to see you on the roundtable.
Yes.
And the next roundtable is going to be interesting, because I think Cabbage is going to be a little angry. So definitely get involved there. We will take your money. We will spend it. And we love what you guys are doing for us. Thanks for everybody that supports us and helps us do what we do. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.